Staying Christian, greetings to each one gathered here this morning. I count it a privilege to be here and to worship with you in a special service. As I, as I ponder what to share this morning, I thought about the church and the work of the church that's going to happen here this morning, and how each and every one has a responsibility. And so I thought about that this morning. And my mind was drawn to Ephesians chapter 4. You can turn in your Bibles to that passage there. My mind went on the thought that the church is something that is alive. The church is something that is moving and working. My mind went to this verse here, Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to read verse 11 through 16. And he gave some prophets, or he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things which is ahead, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Maybe we should keep reading, because we find in verse 17 that therefore, this I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of your mind, their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness, but ye have not so learned Christ. And we're going to cease reading there. The verses I wanted to think about this morning especially is verse 11 through 16. And we have the church. We have God working in the church. Did you catch in verse 11 the times that God worked through the church? We have apostles. Past. The apostles lived back then. That was for that era of time. Some prophets. Again, people prophesying in the Old Testament time is what I believe that's referring to. And then it comes to evangelists, and we can think of the evangelists in the Scriptures. But we have evangelists today too, as we are called to do the Great Commission as a church. Go out, preach the gospel, be evangelists. And then he says, and pastors and teachers, very present today. How the church works, as Paul, as the church was formed and set in order. There's pastors, there's teachers that are part of it. And so this morning, as you think about the church and the work that's going to go on this morning, that's what we're working for. But let's look at this. In verse 11, who places them there? Who's the he it's talking about? And he gave. And so the first point I have is we think about the church, a living church. He gave. It's God. He gave. He gave us the organization. He gave us the structure, but he gave the life. And that's the first point I have, is he gave life to the church. First of all, we need to realize, and I believe we do, but as Christ gave his life for you and I so our sins can be washed away. John 3:16, that very precious verse to us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And so think about that life that we can have as God gave his life for you and I. It is for the church. But you and I are part of that. And we're going to think some more of that later on here yet. And so he gave his life. But he also gives the church life. John 10 verse 10. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. It's talking right after as Jesus was talking about that sheepfold there. He said, the thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. The sheep within the fold, God wants them to have life and to have it more abundantly, and he keeps giving it to them. Christ gave us life. The question for us to ponder this morning, do I have the life of Christ within me? Is it living and growing? Or am I squandering it? Let's ponder that. What else do I see that Christ gave in these verses? And these three that I have on what Christ gave us is not all inclusive. There's many more you can put there. It's just three that the Spirit led me to as I was pondering this passage here. And I see in verse 16, he talks about the structure. The whole body fitly joined together. You know, I'm so thankful I don't have deformities, I don't believe. I've got an arm with a hand connected to the end of it and I can use it. I appreciate that. And this body that he talks about, fitly joined together, we talk about the church and every joint is supplying what it needs in the church. Doing their part. Well, who gave it the structure? Christ gave it the structure. He did it first by laying down his life as we talked about in the first point. But beyond that, in Matthew 16:18, as he was talking to Peter, and Peter had made the confession that thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said to Peter, but I say also unto thee, in verse 18 of Matthew 16, but thou art Peter. You're Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I believe he continues to keep organizing it. As Peter was very foundational in that, in laying out the structure of the church life. As he brought the message to the Gentiles, Christ organized it. He is the structure. He is the one that gives it the strength. The building fitly joined together. Every joint can work together. Why? Because it's all part of that one body. And what is that body? It is living for Christ. Doing his will here on this earth. He gave structure to the church. The church is very important that we have structure. We need those pastors. We need those teachers. We need those people to do the work. The third thing I'd like to think out of this verse is what he gave. Christ gave responsibility. Verse 11, we touched a little bit on this already. But think with me some more. The apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. I see responsibility handed out. Responsibility. Responsibility to handle things within the local body of believers. Responsibility to make application to scriptures. Matthew 16, if we'd have read the next verse, verse 19, after he told Peter, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He goes on to tell Peter, and I will give thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. There is structure, there's application to Scripture that we today make because God has given responsibility to the church and to leaders to make application to Scripture. So that's three things of responsibility that I see that, or three things that God gave to us through this passage here. And there's many more that He gave to us. But I want to ponder a little more on this responsibility and start thinking about us today. What is our responsibility as Christ gave His life for this church, as He gave it the structure that's there, and as He's handing out responsibility to you and I? How did that get to be a pastor and a teacher? Somebody got a responsibility. Did you ever think in life about how responsibility and a title usually came with it? When you were young, when you're a teenager, there's some things that you started doing as a teenager. We started saying, now listen, you need to grow up a little bit and act like a little bit more mature because you're a teenager now. Or when you turn to an adult, we start saying, act like an adult. When you come to, if the Lord leads you into marriage, all of a sudden you're a married man. You're a husband now. There's a title that came with it. Now you're a husband. Do the responsibilities of what a husband's called to do, a wife as well. And so you ponder about that and responsibilities. As we think about church life, when we have responsibility, we become a member of the church. We become a member of the body of Christ. And when you look at when people ask you where you go to church at, I'm a member at Cornerstone, or for you, I'm a member at Mount Joy. I'm part of this local body. Yes, the church at large, I'm part of that. I'm serving Christ. I gave my heart to the Lord. But what about the local body? We have a responsibility. The first part I have, that first point I have on in our responsibility to give for ourselves is we are responsible to give the church life. Remember the first one I said, God gives the church life. But you and I give the church life. As we let Christ come into our life and be part of us, and we attach ourselves to the membership of the local body, suddenly there's this local body that forms and it has life. It's a Spirit-filled life within me. As I'm a part of a local body, I'm but one of the many members. I'm but one of the rest of the body. I don't know if I'm the finger, I don't know if I'm the hand or the arm. It doesn't matter. We fill the role that God has placed us to. We give. We give the church life. We give it structure. We give it everything it needs. I want to highlight here. For us to give the church life, we must first have the life of Christ within us. You can't take something dead and place it in a body of believers and expect it to bring forth life. John 3:7, Jesus is talking to Nicodemus and tells him in very bold terms many times, ye must be born again. There must be something within you. There must be life there. There's no clause. There's no, you should be born again. Ye must be born again. He also goes on in John chapter 3. He uses the word except. Except. Unless, if you translate that over, unless. This is the only way. If you want to see the kingdom of God, experience the kingdom of God on this earth, there needs to be life. Except. What does that mean? To have the life within us? Offer apologies. I did ponder about calling Joe and say, I have a cold. Do I come preach or not? But I'm here anyhow. Bear with me. As we have the life of Christ within us, there is something that happens within us. And I want to just touch a little bit on that. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says there this. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Do you catch the shift of focus in your life? It is a choice. As we have chosen to give our lives to Christ, we choose to serve Him. We choose to give of ourselves. We choose to let the old things, the old nature within us, pass away, and let the new birth take place within us. And I trust we are letting it today change us. The new birth experience. We have the responsibility to give the church life. We must have that new birth. You know, in the natural world, we hear news about a birth, and it usually travels pretty fast in the modern age we live in. And everybody's joyous and happy because there's another birth, there's another life. And it's such a joyous time of the year or time of the life. As there's new life. And I trust we feel the same when somebody comes to a new birth in Christ. We have that rejoicing within us. I got to get a man's status. And this week, he had a post on his status that they had a baby born to them, but it was a stillborn. Never had life within it after it was born. I wonder sometimes today if we don't go through the same process, if we don't sometimes today just feel okay being a stillborn Christian and somehow feeling that that's life. No, there must be beginnings. There must be a start. There must be a selling out to Christ. Because this is what builds and this is what adds to the church. When people are sold out, they come to the church, they give their life to Christ, then the church grows. It's when individuals turn from sin and have a change of heart. We give up of self. This morning in Sunday school, we talked about a man that hid sin. Is that something strange that only happened back there to Achan? I believe it's something we all fight or battle with today. Leprosy in the scripture is likened to sin. He eats away at lives, and Satan is happy when he can have something in your life, in my life, just sucking the life out of us. What does it take to overcome and to live above sin? It takes commitment. It takes a continual battle against wrong. A continual choice to serve Christ every day. Sin has the same as what it did in the Bible times, as leprosy did in the Bible times. Leprosy, the people with leprosy were called to separate themselves from the people of God and were forced to live alone. Ponder with me about the church today. To be part of the church, we must have sin on the outside. Because the church is to be God's bride, and God cannot tolerate sin. That needs to be on the outside of the church. John 15. It talks about the vine and the branches. We know Jesus as being that true vine. You and I are the branches. Where does our life come from? It comes from that vine, from the main vine, which is Christ. The question we have to answer for us today, you and I, are you and I attached to that vine? Is there life in the church you are a part of? It's one of the areas where you can look at and see in your own life. We love church life that has life. We love it. But are you and I putting the life in it? We're called to give the church life. Stay attached to the vine. Stay attached so you have life. And you can maintain life and show it out in the church God has called you to be a part of. The second point I have, as we have a call and a responsibility. We have a responsibility to fill our work that we are called to do. Verse 11 has a list of work that people did in different times. Brothers and sisters, today you have a work to do. God does not let someone sit without anything to do. Some of those that we notice many times: trustees, janitors, Sunday school teachers, devotional leaders, moderators, song leaders. You may say, well, I'm none of those. It's all right. There's still work for you to do. There's needy people that some people can just touch and be that person to counsel with. There are strong points in the church for that. And if you find that's still not your gift, everyone can pray. The church needs more prayer warriors. The church needs more people that are like James, the man that wrote the book of James, as I studied one time, passed on it. You know, the history has it that man had calluses on his knees from being in prayer so long. Is it any wonder that we can pull the anointing of oil passage from the book of James? And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. Not everyone is called to the same work. We all have our different responsibilities. Not everybody can be the hand. Not everybody can be the arm. Not everybody can be the foot. We all have our part to fill. As we give the church life for the life of Christ living in us, are we giving it power and witness by living out our responsibilities in the workforce, what we are called to do. Colossians 3:22 says this. I'm going to read verses 22 through 24. Verse 23 is what I really want. Colossians 3:22, servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. Aren't we all servants to Christ? Yes, we are. And this is verse 23, and whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. For ye serve the Lord Christ. We all have our place to fill in church. How are we doing it? The church has structure. God has given it structure. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 40, Paul writing to the Corinthians, and he said, let all things be done decently and in order. And so, when I look at our conservative Mennonite churches and the structure that's there of leaders in the church, I say we need order. Do you ever go to a job site and nobody knows who's going to lead out? It can be confusion. In the church, it has structure, it has order. And God places people where He wants them to help build the church. There's labor work that needs to be done. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians 5. Let me just pull a couple points as we ponder this work that people were called to do within the church. And this is a passage that has something for all of us to do. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12 and 13. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. There's three things I see in here as we have work to do. We did a list of number of work that we have in the church. But we all have this responsibility. We all have this work to do. And that is to look at the ones that the Lord has placed in responsibility and to esteem them very highly in love. And we always tend to look at the front bench and say it's those people. And I do believe that it does reach there. And so, excuse me for saying that. But I think it goes beyond that. And when it's the trustees, do we esteem them highly in love? Or the janitor? Know them which labor among you. People that do the work. Respect them, appreciate them, recognize them for the gift they are to the body. They are a gift. Can you imagine if everybody stayed afterwards to try to lock the door on the way out? No, there's a man for the job. Know them which labor among you. Respect them, appreciate them. And recognize them for the gift they are to the church. The second thing I see in here is esteem them very highly in love. Yes, have love for them. Hold them up. Realize that they are called to a work of servanthood, of giving of themselves. They're not serving self, but they're being a servant to you. Serving you. Esteem them highly in love for their work's sake, what they're doing for you. The The third one I have, be at peace among yourselves. Something we all can do. Be a peacemaker among ourselves, among the brotherhood. Each and every one of us has a responsibility to produce peace and harmony in the brotherhood. It is easy for us, the human nature within us, at least I find in my own self, is to be one that we dig up and we can stir up. That's not what the Lord calls us to. In the brotherhood, in the church, we are called to be at peace among ourselves and to be a peacemaker in the brotherhood. Produce peace and harmony. Do all in our possibility to do that. Are we doing that? Our responsibility to the church and the structure and the work that needs to happen there. Now let's turn to 1 Corinthians 12. Good to read this whole account, but we're not going to do that. We already alluded to this account, but I just want you to think with me. Verse 14 is the one that I want you to just highlight as we ponder on the church and how the body functions together. The body is not one member, but many. Ponder that. That brother sitting beside you is, if he's a member of the church at Mount Joy, and you are a member of the church at Mount Joy, he's something to your body. He is something to you. He is something that is precious to you. He's a gift to you. Verse 15, the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand. Because I'm not like my brother over there. That's the hand. He has so much more to do. He has so much better appeal. I'm just the smelly foot. Is my foot important? Is it not part of the body? I want it. I need it. Smash your foot and see once how you can walk. Break your foot. See how you can walk without it. It's needful. What about the ear and the eye? They all have their needful place. Very needful places. Filling each role. The head, the feet, each one filling their role. The body is not one member, but many. We support the life of one another. You see, my hand would be of no use to me if I didn't have the arm that attaches it. My brain sends signals to all the parts of my body and tells it what to do. Your brain is controlling your natural body. Always in control. Christ, the head of the church, is always in control of the church. He's bringing about what he would have. And sometimes that hand over there does something to help us to realize that we need work on a different area of our life. God moves. As God is the head of the church, he moves. And he is working through each and every one. can we view each other and with love and appreciation. My Bible is still open to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 25 says this. As we ponder the many members that are there, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. God don't want divisions in the body. We are to have the same care one for another. The same as we care for ourselves. He goes on in chapter 13. You all remember what the chapter 13 is? Love. Charity. That is what is needful as the church, the body, as we all work together. And we all view church life. We must see our brother, our sister, through the eyes of love. The eyes of charity. Not a filial love, but an agape love, a choice. We choose to love. Even when that hand reaches over and pinches us, we choose to love. We must. We must. God is building His church. He's the one that gives it life. Ultimately, He is the one. But is it living it out in my life? Have I accepted His life into my life? And am I living it out in the brotherhood? And He gave some apostles, some prophets, some pastors, and teachers. This morning, you're looking for another pastor, a minister. The Lord moves through the brotherhood. I thought about it in Acts chapter 1 at the last ordination as they were reading the Lot scripture there. And Peter had stood up and said, somebody needs to take the place of Judas. They went to the congregation that was gathered there and says, we must appoint men, appoint someone that meet these qualifications. And I understand you had qualification messages here. We must define that. Who did the nomination? It was the people. They gave forth two names. This evening, or this morning, as you look for God's will in the congregation here, He's working through you and the life you have in the church here at Mount Joy. Rest in it, but pull your responsibility.